The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Many of the disciples of Jesus who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer walked with him. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have the sharp contrast in the readings this morning. The first reading, because of the miracles, people were joining the church, coming to Christ, giving themselves to Christ. And then in the gospel today, because of some things that Jesus had said, people are returning to their old way of life and leaving the church and not believing. So the two. The first is always easier, to believe in God when we see the miraculous things of God. Peter's working these great miracles. I don't know about your conversion. Mine was really in high school through the charismatic renewal that I came to accept the Lord and know him personally and develop a prayer life and all of that. And it was really a wonderful time. They talk about a honeymoon period. It was. The consolations and prayer were tremendous. I thought they were normal. I thought they would always be there my whole life. And so a lot of, you know, you feel like embraced by God and kissed by God. And so this was a wonderful time. And then the miracles that I witnessed and through the renewal and people being healed and so forth, all of that came together for me and it was a very wonderful time. So I can relate to this first reading and all these people seeing all of this happening, and perhaps you can too, and coming to the Lord, a wonderful time. Jesus has something to say now to disciples, to his disciples, his apostles. People have been at it for a little bit of time. So this is important. Not that the other isn't. We still witness to the power of the Lord. I probably told the chapel story because it's one of those stories that witnesses to the power of Christ over 100 times, I think, to high school kids with the same hope that might stir in them some faith. It's one of the places I miss Debbie Smeets. She used to give me a little evaluation. She used to always come to them. I don't know why. And then on the way out, she said, "That was a good one," or "That was so-so." I used to love that when she would do that. So, but anyways, and so now we have in the gospel today this where people are leaving. Now, this is always a challenge for us. Jesus is saying things that don't fit into the preconceived ideas of how God is supposed to be, life is supposed to unfold, and so forth. And this is the bread of life discourse. So this is the piece that the Jews were having a hard time with. This is my body, this is my blood. But it can be other things too, where it's just a challenge to us, and it doesn't seem to fit. And this shakes us. And more than one person has gone back to their old way of life and stopped following Jesus when this kind of thing happens. And what is that kind of thing that happens? It's the kind of thing that we just feel God should do differently. You know, why is there so much injustice? Why isn't this working out for this kid? How could these people be this way? Or even small things. Why can't the phone company do this in one phone call? Why does it have to be four? Or how could this sister possibly be not advanced? after so many years in the convent, you know, with the community and so forth. So all of these things are, and we're just wondering, we're questioning, how can this be? And all of this, you know, where are you in all of this? So this is always a challenge. These are the questions of the flesh. And Jesus says the flesh is useless. What's important is spirit and life. Spirit and life. I always love St. Paul's insight into this area of what's really important, what's going to last. In 1 Corinthians 13, three things last: faith, hope, and love. Now, the very fact that he says only three things last means there's some purity to it. If you're purifying gold, for example, and after you get rid of the magnesium and the copper and the lead, whatever else is in there, and you say the only thing that lasts is the gold, you've got pure gold. And so the very fact that Paul says three things last is a way of saying something about the purity of it, because everything else is gone, it's died. And that is so pure faith, pure hope, and pure love. Now, this is the life of the Spirit. When Jesus says this is spirit and life, he's talking about pure faith, pure hope, and pure love. And not the things of the flesh, the things that will pass, the things that will eventually corrupt, decay, and die. So what does it mean to live a life of pure faith, pure hope, and pure love? What does that feel like? Well, what that feels like, or how we experience that as disciples, is that pure faith, God is in this. Doesn't sound right. For the Jews, it was, you're the bread of life. We're used to that, but they weren't. And so that was, but it's whatever it is, whatever causes the bump. How can this be happening? What's going on? Why is this not right? Pure faith. Pure faith is, and yet God is here. And I don't want to go back to my old way of life. I'm going to stick this out. Because faith is not just belief, but it's also faithfulness. I'm going to stick this out. Pure faith. Pure hope. And it's going to work out somehow. I don't see how this can work out. I don't see how this evil is going to bring any good. I don't get it. Pure hope. And yet, it's going to work out. God bless. And then pure love. Pure love. I'm going to love. I'm going to continue to love. I'm going to love God even though I don't know what he's doing. I am going to love my community even though they should be further along or more advanced or doing something different or this isn't. I'm going to love them. And I'm going to love even the enemies of the people that are causing the suffering and the grief. I'm going to love, pure love. Meanwhile, the flesh is never going to shut up. That's crazy, it's going to say. And it's going to say, that's just wrong, and you should be upset, and you should really go after, and you should be this, and why you... And we have this war going on. But the voices of the flesh are useless. Useless in the bigger picture. And so what this feels like then is that the emotions don't control us, but we control them. Our faith, our hope, and our love rises above and supersedes all this other stuff. I had to laugh, you know, as I try to live this. I mentioned the phone company because I did. It was a simple thing, and it took 5 days, a couple hours on the phone, just to change a phone line. Caused all this inconvenience for the retired men who couldn't get on the internet for 5 days and so forth. And, you know, there's a part of me that just, you know, and yet it all's fine, right? They need to be loved. People at the phone company, they're just, you know, whatever. They're underpaid. Who knows what's going on in their lives? Pure faith, pure hope, pure love. And I'm still working just with the phone company. Imagine if I really get an injustice. But right, you know what I mean? And yet it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So we're invited not to run back. I don't know what we'd run back to anyways. Whenever I think sometimes, this is crazy, I'm leaving, what am I thinking? What am I going to go back to? There's nothing to go back to. The cross before me, the world behind me is a great song. It's nothing. But it is the cross, and the cross is meant to bring us to pure faith, pure hope, and pure love. And if we're experiencing any dryness, or miracles aren't impressing us as much anymore these days, or whatever it is, it's okay. It's an invitation. It's really the path of Jesus to go deeper. So that when we die, the three things that are left are the three things that will last in us. Pure faith, pure hope, pure love.